Good morning, Agmenesta.
Too much. Too much.
Good morning, Agmenesta. This is our first roundtable of the actual campaign. I am John. I'm your dungeon master.
Robin Williams was much better than that.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a lot better.
Yeah, because he's Robin fucking Williams, man.
Hi, I'm Corey. I play Goshen. I'm sick and dying, but I love you all.
I'm Trent, and I play Talbor.
I'm Ben, and I play Nim.
I'm Jordan, and I play Jerry.
I'm Sally, and I play Penny. And I don't love you all.
Harsh.
Oh. Everybody loves you.
That's true.
Yeah. Fan favorite.
I'm Kyle, and I play Ordok.
How in the world do we ever put a podcast together?
Very organic.
Yeah, that's a good word for it, Adam. Organic. Speaking of which, we do have our friend Adam. He is a Patreon subscriber, so he is sitting here with us live. So if this is something you guys would want to be, you the audience anyway, would be interested in listening to us really kind of mess it up and, you know, thank God for editing.
This wasn't edited, this was perfect.
Yeah, it is all scripted, very professionally scripted. Head over to Patreon and look at the tiers and see if this is something you'd be willing or wanting to do. And also, by the time this goes out, it'll be like the end of the Die Hard Dice giveaway. So go to Facebook and Twitter, like, comment, share, subscribe, go to the website, subscribe, jump on Discord and subscribe or join Discord and get yourself entered to win. We're going to be drawing those on the 24th of April. So you still will have a little bit of time by the time this goes out to get that. And then stay tuned or keep following us for some more giveaways. I'm looking at a pile of dice right now that was given to us by Die Hard Dice, and then we have a few more super fun stuff coming up in the future to give away. We might do some like Discord exclusives or maybe some Patreon exclusives. You know, we'll think of something fun for you guys, but don't forget about that. And that's all the kind of housekeeping stuff that we have. So we can go into, unless there's anything else you guys want to add.
Thank you, Die Hard Dice.
If you don't find anything on the Patreon tiers that you particularly like, most of us are willing to sell our bodies for relatively cheap.
I was waiting for it. Speaking of that, as far as Patreon tiers, if you don't see anything you like, shoot us an email or a comment and say, hey, this is something that we'd like to see on Patreon, and maybe we'll add it. Because Patreon, we just kind of set that up, haven't really advertised it because we don't want to be begging for money, like, you know, or anything like that. And we don't want to be too pushy. We just want you guys to enjoy it, but it's there. So if it's something that you can look at or donate to, go right ahead, but it's never expected. But we're always looking to grow our community in any way possible. So if there's something cool that you guys think of that you would like to see in the future, let us know and we'll get it on there and you know, pander ourselves for your money like a prostitute.
High class.
I'm not that high class.
7 audio prostitutes. That's all we are. Same concept, different format. Anyway, let's get into episode talk. Behind schedule.
So at this point, we have 3 episodes out. Episode 1, a halfling walks into a tavern. Episode 2, leave it better than you found it. And episode 3, ash and rubble. So what were all his first impressions after listening to the completed episode 1?
I still hate my voice, but other than that, I thought it was pretty cool. It was neat seeing us all come together and, like, I don't know, get to know each other's characters and kind of get to know our own characters. Felt kind of interesting.
Spell slots are a thing. Who knew?
That is, from everyone I've talked to about episode 1, their favorite part was the interaction between Talmor and Nim and you losing your spell slots.
I genuinely didn't realize. I thought it was a fucking bonus action that was like free. Cantrip. No.
I guess that just comes to down to the fact that you should know your class before you play.
I think it was really fun and pretty interesting just because it was sort of the first time we had all played together. So there was a lot of like, how are we going to make this a consecutive story? And then we just split the party like 18 times. Mm-hmm. You're welcome, John.
Perfect way to start a campaign of people is to split the party.
I still hate my character.
Give it time.
Like as of today or like during episode one? Because I know like episode one, Nim was an asshole, but I think he's gotten better.
Oh, Nim is an asshole. I hate him. But he has to develop, you know? I've got to nurture him. Actually, that's quite interesting. I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking about the round table talk and that, and as I was falling asleep a few hours ago. And I was thinking how it's interesting that I've never actually played a character that I actively dislike before, because I've always played characters that, you know, you role play characters that are in some way a part of you that you wish you were, like to a degree, right? Like, oh, you know, whether that be a mass murderer or whatever, but it's generally sort of part of you, like your subconscious or whatever that you wish you were, right? Like, I mean, that's part of me and fantasy and all the rest of it and role play, but I've never actually played a character before that I wish I wasn't. But I think, you know, he has to go through. So, sorry, everyone. Deal with it.
I'm struggling with my character because she's meant to be like the nicest death domain cleric ever. But because I'm such an asshole in real life, it's like seeping into my gameplay. I can't control it.
It's not actually roleplay. You're just an asshole.
I'm just being myself.
So when you guys first heard that there were drakes involved and that the things from Legends were actually going to start being like the primary antagonist, what were your first impressions of that?
I really didn't expect that to happen so quickly. I was like, oh, that's easily levels away. And then I died twice. So
spoilers. Wait, it was, no, that's not in there.
No, it came out in episode 3. It was kind of like Kyle said, it was like, oh, like we all knew we were going into a game with dragons and like this whole kind of, you know, rich backstory of like dragon magic and blood or whatever. And then it was like, oh fuck, we're like right now, like baby dragons right now. It was kind of a shock to get into it that early, but it was good.
I don't actually know what a drake was, which is probably why I was so happy to jump on its head. I still don't. I still haven't looked them up. I should check out the monster manual, really.
It's not in the monster manual.
Oh, is it not? See, that's how little I know.
Don't go cheating. I'll make rocks fall on you in the middle of a forest.
Oh, no.
I wasn't expecting Jerry to imbibe some drake blood. That was interesting. Yeah.
I don't know what should I definitely have never consumed drake blood.
I'm excited to see where that goes.
It could go nowhere, according to John.
I'm worried about it now.
We have a little extra, so if you get...
If you need to pick me up.
You know what, I could use it right now.
Like methadone to a heroin addict. You just take a little to keep you on edge.
Yeah, we're just going to be carting around like a cold turkey wizard from now on, and we just have to sort of like administer sort of little bits of drake blood to him every day just to keep him from sweating and stop him being a sweaty, gibbering mess.
Either that or we're the bad guys and he's accidentally going to re-release all the dragons. Awkward.
Yeah. Maybe Jerry's actually the protagonist. Antagonist,
yeah.
I've been working with John all along.
He's the Susan Evil.
Sorry, I'm taking notes. Push.
Oh, shit. No. Just because I'm curious, Adam, kind of real quick back to, you know, kind of character favorite.
Yes, name your favorite right now.
Well, and kind of going through the episodes as you have, what are your kind of you know, thoughts on who, listening to the character episodes, who you thought might be your favorite versus who ended up kind of surprising you throughout the episodes, real quick?
I actually really, the first episode I listened to, of course, chronologically, is Sally's. And I really liked hers just because I like the whole aspect of someone who heals, who's just like cannot stand blood, guts, you know, not that. I love that aspect. You know, I work in the medical field and I love that aspect. But honestly, there's two that stick out to me that I just really am just surprised and I'm wanting more. And the first one I'm really surprised with is Jerry. I was kind of going in, no offense, I was kind of going into like, okay, Jerry Allman, you know, he's kind of like a Southern boy, you know, farmer. And listening to it, I'm like, there's something more there. I don't know why. I feel like there's something more there with him. And maybe it's the wizard aspect, but I feel like there's something else there. I have theories, but I don't want to go too deep into it. So, and of course, my other huge favorite is Nim. He kind of is the exact how I play my characters. He just kind of worships chaos. And I love that. I love that the little hiccups he can throw in there.
If you have any theories on Nim, then let me know, because I could do fleshing out my backstory.
Well, a lot of that you could just like kind of, it's kind of like character growth. Like kind of like you see a character who starts out adolescent acting, and then you can see the growth of, you know, instead of throwing the shovel and trying to break the branch, you know, at five episodes down, you don't do that. And it's like, oh, he's learning. But I mean, everyone else, I really like to.
It's okay. My feelings are just crushed. It's fine.
Well, it's just, I never liked Paladin, the clerics. It's the whole religious thing. I'm like, when I start hearing them go off, I'm just like, oh my God, no. You're done. And I mean, I really like Goshen too, like the monk aspect. I love monks. So that's really interesting. I'm waiting to see how that goes out too. But like I said, Jerry, I don't know why, but my gut instinct, there's something else there that we're not seeing. And I'm not like Jerry White's character, but I mean, maybe story-wise, I think there's something else there we're not seeing. And then there's Nim, because of pure chaos.
Goshen scares me, to be honest. Like, I don't trust Goshen as far as I can kick him.
Well, that's pretty far. I'm a light dude.
I was going to see how you guys thought about your first fight in episode 2.
I loved it. It was really good.
I spent half of it by a river.
Using fantasy grounds, I think, was pretty cool. I've never like used fantasy grounds. You know, most of my gaming experience came from, you know, off a grid board, the dry erase markers, and in, you know, in person. So using fantasy grounds and seeing how kind of cool that was to run through fully, it was really nice. And kind of the first fight, figuring out everybody's roles and what we could bring, and it was really interesting, and I think it really helped with the next two fights that we did in episode 3, 4, and 5. I think maybe five,
hopefully.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see.
Depending,
TBD.
Depending. Yeah. But yeah, it was. It's kind of cool to see. You know, you have like, you know, me, Goshen, and Ordok kind of up there doing stuff, and then Nim from doing his thing, and Jerry with the magic, and then Penny in the background
sitting on the tree
failing it.
So almost casting spells,
almost killing Ordok.
It's being the damsel in distress. It's a really,
I'll murder you. Well, I will, but Penny won't, because she's meant to be nice.
Yeah.
Still working on that.
It's a good dynamic. I like it. I like how the spread of characters and classes really play out in the fights and really kind of shine.
Yeah, that was one of the things when you guys kept asking about what you should be. I'm like, just make whoever you want to be in terms of like the class spread and racial spread. So you guys,
unless they're dragonborn.
For story reasons, I'm sorry. That was like, I only gave you two limitations: no dragonborn and no flying races. Because that just, no, screw that.
Mm. Yeah,
it was the best character I came up with.
He's a flying dragonborn. Yeah, I am. I think the fights have been pretty interesting. And like, honestly, when I initially created my character, I thought that I was going to be sort of a damage dealer. And I'm like, no, I should do some rework and just be more utility. Just stop dying so much. Let the big guy take care of it. Between Telmor and like Nim just sniping the hell out of everything, I'm just like, well, I'm just going to stand here and heal people occasionally.
Yeah, stop it. That's my job.
So, all right, I'll just stand here. It's fine.
I like watching Ordok in fights, though, because it reminds me of how it goes every time I try to play a paladin, where I'm like, yeah, I'm tanky, I'm covered in heavy armor. Oh, I just got bitch smacked across the room. Okay, that's fine. And I don't understand why.
Give me a minute while I scoop my insides back in. I'll get back in the fight.
I'm just glad it's not only me that it happens to, I guess.
The first fight for me was intensely boring. Not in terms of playing, but just in terms of the fact that all I could do was shoot arrows because of obvious reasons. But the second fight was much more fun in that I could actually play Nim how I wanted to play him, like a bit of a kind of like pain in the butt.
So like after your first fight, is there any class you wish you would have picked to help like fight-wise? Like Jerry's a wizard, but like now, and I don't know if this kind of ties into the not playable race, but what about like a sorcerer?
A sorcerer was actually my first pick for class. It's what I auditioned with was a French sorcerer, actually. And I was thinking about bringing him into the main campaign. Yeah, but yeah. I didn't want there to be two dedicated spellcasters, so I switched to monk because monks are cool. But if he dies, the French sorcerer is probably coming in, so there you go.
Yeah, my initial character was a warlock, but I was also having some issues with like squishiness, and so I decided, and I've never actually played a paladin before, so I was like, yeah, give it a shot, it sounds fun.
I was a warlock at first too, but warlocks suck. So.
Wow.
Oh, those are fine.
Warlock.
I had like two spell slots, and then I used them. And I spent the rest of the fight using my crossbow.
And protecting a cat.
Originally, I had planned on playing, I think a monk I was going to, but then Corey switched to a monk, and I'm like, well, I'll let him do it.
I appreciate it.
And I was going to play a dwarf fighter, and I had like a really cool backstory and everything. It just didn't fit, really. So I ended up playing the barbarian, and I think it worked out really well, like character-wise, story-wise, and fighting-wise especially. I like where I'm at, so.
I was always going to be a ranger, like right from day one, well in for the Gloomstalker.
I don't think you ever played anything else during any of the auditions, no.
Yeah, no, Gloomstalker all the way.
You were a Kenku for something.
I was a Kenku, yeah, Kenku Gloomstalker for one of them.
Right.
Yeah. I would like to have carried on with the Kenku, but it was just too much like hard work. And not really conducive to a podcast, I don't think.
Not quite.
Yeah.
But it was good fun.
It led to some interesting moments.
Challenging. The hardest roleplay I've ever done, ever. I don't know why, but for some reason that sentence sounded so dirty.
Jordan just got it.
I'm just thinking about it deeper and deeper. I go down the levels. And, oh, wait, that sounds terrible too. No.
Don't.
Let's knock out some of these questions. We have quite a few. Adam, real quick, did you have any more? Since you're the patron and you know you get special privilege, do you have any more questions that you want to ask?
I kind of had one for the DM. So the first big bad I'm kind of gathering is this town where Sally's from, and it's kobolds. And playing kobolds, I mean, I used to play kobolds and whatnot. They're descendant somewhat of dragons. So does that somehow fit into this? Because you even have dragons, or you have kobolds that can get wings. And after listening to episode 3, where you introduced the drake, like, what if a drake mated with a kobold? Like, would you have a somehow a true dragon, or I was just wondering because I know kobolds are some sort of draconic in nature. So,
in terms of the kobolds, I hinted at them quite a bit during the solo episodes, and that was not really a path that the PCs decided to go down. So they really haven't actually encountered them yet. But in terms of kobold to Drake, not really, but you never know what could happen when you get a couple of beers into somebody. That's kind of much I can say about that right now.
What's that? Okay. I didn't know how much you could go into it.
Can we put that like dun-dun-dun gif with the little hamster?
The gopher thing, yeah.
I think, like, because, you know, this was kind of something we looked into, the kobolds in the 5e monster manual are a draconic race, you know, like a sub-race. So I didn't think of that before, but with how kind of, sought after dragon blood is it kind of the same with kobolds? Or can we ask that? Do kobolds share like a similar magic bloodline?
Just wait till I get thirsty and we'll find out.
We gotta go clear out that mine and you're gonna go crazy.
I will say that there is a possibility that there could be some connection there.
We should all send Adam our questions and get Adam to answer because all of this is stuff that we don't know. But would be quite handy.
Yeah, I know I had a question for Sally.
Hello.
So do you feel like you're playing den mother to the older boys? Do you feel like you have to be the one to wrangle them? And
no
okay,
this is my dating sim.
Okay. Yep, that's exactly how she sees it.
This is my harem.
Yeah, I just felt like the episode, you know, I think it was 2 when you're trying to get, you know, in Tolmir's character kept like stop. You're like, no, come on, let's go, come on, let's go, no stopping.
It's really funny.
No, it's just because she wanted to get back to the town as quick as possible, mostly. But no, I'm bored of acting like that, so these are just my whores.
Well,
let's watch the name go in there.
I sort of feel like Talmor was the den mother.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Which is a horrifying thought.
Right? Think about that. Yeah. That's real. For now. I think, because this kind of, I was kind of talking with Ben about this as well. I think I got like too much screen time, you know, last time. I feel like I want to be out of the forest because I don't like being in charge. It's just, I think, like, we're in a place in the story where it makes sense, you know, because I was the adventure guide through the forest. But that put a lot of pressure on Talmor, and his psyche can't handle it.
I'm very curious who's kind of going to stand up a little bit when you guys get more into Westspring and what paths you might be taking, because I've got, like, 4 different backup plans.
We're going to ruin them all. Don't worry.
Oh, I know. I have no doubt about that.
I'm putting my money on Ordok.
Oh, yeah. Me too, actually.
Oh, yeah. He seems the most responsible of us all.
I'm not listening to Ordok.
Oh, boy. We're starting this now.
We'll see, little man.
Oh. Let's get ready to rumble.
Ordok, why haven't you tried rolling the dice at random times?
Mostly because I'm terrified.
Okay.
Have
you thought about giving them to Nim to roll?
Oh, yeah. So we'll find out something about that in another episode that's soon to be released. But I've been keeping my eye on them. But, you know, I don't want to screw with the Fae too much.
And I really want Nim to catch Ordok playing with the dice so I can sort of ask you about them and find out more myself, because I'm quite interested. Like, from a like out of character perspective, I'm quite interested.
Oh, from an out of character perspective, I have no idea what they are. So.
I think it's going to be kind of a cool story with the whole Twilight and the Fae that we're kind of running into, and hopefully we're kind of getting that today as we record after we're done here with the round table. Do a little bit and kind of find out, because yeah, I'm super interested as well.
Yeah, when I kind of wrote this kind of campaign arc, it's really three arcs in one. And I kind of laid out before you guys which kind of route you wanted to take. But it's interesting how things intertwine. I'll just leave it at that.
I know that when you guys mentioned the archaeologist and Nim wasn't there, I was just like kicking myself. No, I'm not there. Shit. Which I'm not sure if everyone knows, but Nim's background is an archaeologist. And I'm fairly sure that was my teacher you were talking about.
I don't know.
Ooh,
I don't
know.
Maybe. So we can move on. We have quite a few questions, I think, to get through real quick. One from JL Herman 93. She's on Discord. But she asked, what has been your favorite race and or class to play, including Do or Dice, but past PCs included? So just kind of if anybody has, you know, any of their favorite characters they want to share.
Halfling Rogue. Best combo. I loved it.
I was a Gnome Rogue in a 4th edition campaign. My DM kept giving me teleportation abilities from different gears. So I'd sit popping around being things and stabbing people in the back. It was amazing.
These are all just going to be rogues, I think. But a long time ago, I was playing an AD&D campaign, and it was a Dragonlance like side story, and I was playing a Kender, and that was a lot of fun. I think my most prized moment was I accidentally started a civil war in the town that we were in. It was great.
I'm sort of, for like a one shot, if we do the Patreon one shots, I'm kind of chomping to create that witch doctor that I've been talking about in Discord, like a homebrew doctor that raises some, like, if we get into a fight and we kill a monster, the witch doctor can raise it from the dead and use it to fight, but totally at random. So it has no control over whatever it raises. I think that would be amazing fun. But otherwise, I always play rangers. Always. I've never played anything else. How sad is that?
I want you to play the opposite of a ranger sometime just to see what would happen.
What's that, a monk?
Maybe. I think so, yeah.
That or, yeah.
Seems about right, yeah.
Monks are crazy. I don't get it. It's like, I'm going to spend key points and do another 25 attacks.
Yeah. We become stunlock machines at level 5, so that'll be fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Everyone levels up except for Goshen.
I think my favorite character I ever played is actually where I kind of get my namesake of Nubbins. It was a player or a character in a very old campaign that I actually ran with Adam and his wife and a few other people. Because for those who don't know, me and Adam's like my best friend. And we've known each other for like going on 10 years. He actually got me into D&D.
This is on tape. I got it.
he got me into it and got me started.
So Adam, this is all your fault.
Yeah. Yeah. This podcast wouldn't be here today, technically, if it wasn't for Adam. But he was a fighter who it was in 3.5 where you could take like specialized professions and abilities and stuff. So I took Tinkerer, and he was like a scientist as well as a fighter and an inventor. And we had, it was like a weird kind of technological fantasy as well, like, not, there's like steampunk, but there's also like electricity and like, I don't know, it was kind of hard to explain. But he was a fighter who fought so hard. I forget his actual name because everybody just called him Nubbins after what we called a fight club, where it was just, you know, he wanted to win so bad that he kept fighting even after he broke his hands, and his hands were so mangled that they had to cut him off.
Wow.
And so he became Nubbins because he had nubs for hands, and he had automail, steampunk automail. And it was a really, really cool character arc, and I played him for years. And he came back a couple times in a couple different iterations, but he was definitely my favorite. But the other, I guess there's two other notable ones that are actually, you guys can see in Talmor, or will see, kind of the nice side of Talmor is almost a carbon copy of another character I played called Torgo. He was a big barbarian. Very similar character. And then the other side of Talmor, that we, you know, eventually might get into is, going to be based off of, or what I have in my head based off of, a dragonborn fighter that I played, named Alcide. So we'll see down the line if that ever comes in.
My favorite character was a human Eldritch Knight named Hef. And the only reason he was my favorite is because he seemed very like friendly and outgoing. It was kind of like the leader of the group that I was in because I was the only melee. But secretly he was neutral evil and had plans to pretty much kill everyone in the party to absorb their power into this magic sword that the DM mistakenly gave me. But the campaign ended before I got the chance to, so it's kind of sad.
I don't have one because I'm a noob. This is my first ever Dungeons & Dragons campaign.
Yay!
Similar to the sword-eating people, my halfling rogue had a dagger that, like, when you killed somebody, you got a charge. And then, like, the more charges I got, it made me more insane and paranoid and kind of like schizo, but it gave me more things I could do with it.
That's awesome.
And it was totally cursed, and it was the worst thing ever. And, like, it had, like, a total of 6 charges. By the time I got to, like, 5, I was pretty much just ready to kill whoever came too close to me. So I had to, like, time out my fights and be like, okay, I have to get the finishing blow on, like, 2 dudes. And then whenever you get, like, 6 charges, it would explode around me and put off, like, this necromantic wave. So it was it was odd to play around. At one point, we had a fight going, and I was at 4 charges, and I was like, I have to get rid of these somehow before, like, we get into another fight. And so I remember he said he rode, these 2 bandits that we just killed rode in on horses. I was like, can I take the horses somewhere far away? And I just had to, like, kill the horses so that the dagger would go off and not, like, mess with the rest of the party.
Taking so many notes.
I had to do that a couple times. I loved that. I loved and I hated that dagger so much because it made it so interesting and so awful.
As Sally's saying, she's like a noob, but I'm kind of similar. Like, I've only played for a couple of years, but my group I play with is, I'm the DM for, so I've only actually ever played. This is the first proper campaign I've been a player in. I played a little bit of Storm King's Thunder as a ranger, but otherwise I've DM'd the whole time.
Yeah, same here. I've only played once, and that was over 3 years ago. Since then, I've been DMing for 3.5 years now.
I can't wait to see you as a player, man. I really hope you're, like, completely inept.
It's going to be, I know all the secrets behind all the classes.
Yeah. Hopefully soon we can get our one shots going. That's just a scheduling issue, but yeah, it's hopefully we can get that because I want to see that as well. So the next question we have is from Barchan Parkin in Discord.
It's Barkin.
Oh, okay. I was reading it phonetically. So she says, how old was everyone when they first started playing D&D, and how often have you played in the past?
Oh, no, I'm going to tell everyone how old I am.
I mean, I already said I used to play AD&D, so.
Yeah. Damn, that's either a comeback from the old days or, yeah. But I didn't start until 3.5 when I was 23. And that was for 3 months, and the campaign died. And I didn't play again until, 4 years ago. and I'm 31. So yeah, it's been a while.
Well, like I said, I started with Adam about 10 years ago when I was 15-ish, because I'm 25 now. And we played primarily 3.5. And for years, we would start at like noon, and then we would play until breakfast the next morning. And then we would go out for breakfast and then play until like mid-afternoon and then nap and then do it again.
Nice.
And because our DM worked at a school, and you know, I lived with them, we all kind of lived in the same place, and it was awesome. And we had very open schedules, so we played quite a bit up until about 4 years ago, when I had a child and put a damper on things. Damn kids,
as children do.
Yeah.
And then we don't play as much as we used to, and so for the last 4 years, it's been very sparse. But slowly getting back into it with this and the random kind of times that we can get together in person. So
I started playing, honestly, I don't remember how old I was. I was,
liar.
No. I was like, I was between 10 and 13, like somewhere in there. I was like preteen. I'm the younger brother. And so I picked up all of the books from my brother as he went off to college. And so me and my friends started playing, and I played all through high school. And so I started with AD&D, and then we moved to 3.0, and just got into 3.5, before the rest of us all went to college. And then I haven't played for, years. So I'm 32. And so I stopped. I think I played a couple of like one-off games in college. But didn't really do anything seriously until now.
That's okay. Goshen Schooler. So I actually started in 5e when I was like 20, I want to say. And I was at a library with some of my friends. And I was like, it'd be cool to start playing D&D. And they're like, yeah, well, we did, you know, I don't really want to start until we find someone that has some experience to DM. So I lied. I'm like, oh, I have tons of experience. I'll DM our first game. No problem. And it was fun, but I got the vast majority of the rules wrong, and I was like secretly flipping through the books underneath the table behind my DM screen as quick as they were talking. It was a lot of fun. Oh, I'm 25 now, by the way.
Weirdly, when I was growing up, my brothers were like massively into like magic and like Warhammer and all that, but they were never into D&D, so I kind of like sidestepped it until this year, pretty much.
What got you into it?
Podcast?
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm not going to give them any airtime. They get enough.
Ben?
Yeah, I started with 5th edition on the starter set. Amusingly, I always wanted to play D&D, but never had anyone to play with, and I found the starter set for 5th edition and put it on my wish list and just sort of forgot about it. And my parents bought it for me for Christmas, like not knowing what the hell it was. And I sort of opened it and was like, oh, great, but I've got no friends that are ever going to want to play this with me. And then I sort of pitched the idea to them and found out that actually loads of them wanted to, and we ended up turning people away. That was when 5th edition, just after 5th edition came out, I guess, a couple of years ago. And I was what, like 58 or something about that at that point.
He's at the ripe young age of 71. Yeah.
Right now. I was 34, I think. So yeah, I was 34 when that came out. And this group of friends that one of us had played since 3.5, but all the rest of us were totally new. And I just DM'd and was like, yeah, none of us had a clue what we were doing, but we just made stupid voices up and hit things, and it was great fun. We've been playing since, really. Yeah, a couple of years. So not that long, really. But I always wanted to. It was just one of those things where you think, oh, I need a group of people. It's never going to happen. So you just sort of never do it. And then, yeah, I did, and it worked.
Let's see. I started playing 2 years ago. Almost three, probably. So I was 20 about when I started. Started on 5th edition, DM'd, right off the bat because my friends that I was moved in with were playing, I think it was Warhammer. It's called like Dark Heresy or something. It was like an expansion, I think, of Warhammer 40K or something. And they didn't like the guy that was DMing. He was a really nice DI, but he, like, when he played, was very much the, like, drop rocks on your head and you die and nah, ha, ha, I got you kind of DM, and they weren't having fun with it. So I pitched the idea of playing D&D, and I got, because I pitched the idea, I had to DM. So, like, learned everything I could within, like, 2 weeks and threw together a session. And then for a while, for, like, a year, I was DMing all the local games that I knew, like, friends in. But nowadays, I'm limited to the podcast. I did have two live groups going. Now I only have one. And I'll DM for either one of them anymore. So that's nice.
The next question here is from a user, new user. I don't know who they are, but it's from Jerry Almond. And it says, what will be the main antagonist's greatest weakness? Which magic items are cursed? And do you believe it's morally acceptable to use mimics?
Excellent questions, Jerry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's for the DM.
These are. So, what was the first one again? I'm sorry.
What's the main antagonist's biggest weakness?
Cheesecake. Yeah.
Mm. Oh. Cheesecake. Oh, okay.
Me too.
Okay. I remember that. which magic items are cursed?
All of them.
All, okay.
Makes sense.
Do you believe in mimics?
That's obvious. I mean, you should know that one by now.
Great. Great questions. Good job, Jerry Almond, whoever you
Thank
are.
Thank you, Jerry.
Let's see, and then we have one from Facebook. How did you go about creating the world of how do you say that exactly?
Agmenesta.
Agmenesta. Okay, that's not how I pronounced it at all. What were some of the books, shows, etc. that helped inspire you?
I watch way too much anime, and I listen to way too many audiobooks at work. I get through maybe 4 or 5 books a month. And they're all fantasy related. So it's all a kind of a culmination of all of that. In terms of, I would say more so animes than fantasy books, to be completely honest, because it's so out there and crazy.
Yeah.
I read too many books and watch too much anime, which is a real problem, to be completely honest.
Kind of along that same line, this one comes from Lady Crit over off our Discord. How did you go about creating and naming your NPCs? Also, how much work did you go into putting backstories into it for them?
In terms of names, it's mainly a random name generator, unless it's someone I think might be a little more involved, such as the Triad in West Ringwood, or William. I just like the name William for the innkeeper. In terms of backstory, I only do very little because there's always a chance the PCs won't give a shit about a certain individual and they'll just go away. And then that's probably a few hours of wasted time for someone's backstory. But if they start liking someone and getting more involved with them, then I start developing the backstory. So I save that for much, much later. I say for any kind of NPC, I do maybe like 1 or 2 sentences about who they are and kind of what they do and where they come from. That's about it. I'm very much of a less is more, because once the PCs hit the game, all hell breaks loose. And for some reason, they'll end up 3 cities over while they burn the village that you first made. And it hurts inside. So... I think the only reason that we haven't done that yet is because you guys know this is for a podcast and that story matters.
It's funny how you say William, though. And as soon as you say William, it's like I can kind of picture the innkeeper.
Yep.
So he's become obviously like quite a central character. I mean, he was always in all the character episodes, right? But yeah, like William's quite evocative already. Like straight away, I was like, oh yeah, the barkeep bread, yeah.
Yeah, he and his wife have kind of developed more so than any other character, because they had to deal with you guys so much that any questions you had, they needed to have an answer for. So they are by far the most developed NPCs I have.
How about your wonderful character voices? How do you distinguish all of them?
apart. I have notes off to the side about who is kind of like what, who I'm either basing it off of or kind of like just the general gravelness or old person kind of thing. I spent a lot of time in my car listening to audiobooks and mimicking the author's voice for other characters. So I have way too much free time on my hands.
So you're basically a Kenku.
Yes, I mimic everybody.
Yeah, more or less.
I've been doing that a lot lately. I'm delivering pizzas and like I'll just have my music going, but I've also like heard this song 20,000 times. I've started getting so bored to the point where I start singing my songs, but I start singing them in like accents so I can practice doing accents or whatever and still singing
my first songs. Job was at a cookie store in a mall, and it was boring as all hell. So I would talk to each individual customer under a different accent. And one time, one lady was like, "Where are you from?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm from Australia." She went, "You came all the way here and you work in a cookie store?" Yeah. And then after about, she would come back about 3 or 4 days, keep talking to me. And then I suddenly just broke. I'm like, I'm sorry, ma'am. I get really, really bored here. And she went, and she just walked away.
I broke her heart.
She's like the 60-year-old woman that would just come in for decaf coffee every morning.
She's been telling her friends at work about her exotic coffee maker.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
That was like over a decade and a half ago.
Okay, so that seems to be all of the questions we have here, unless our patron had any more that you thought of.
What's going to happen if one of them like actually dies? Like, do you have something in place for that? Like,
I've got a backup character already.
But you're the one that said we won't die. We're the main characters. And you're the one with the backup characters.
At this point, if anyone dies, they are more than welcome to create another character, at which point I have to find out when the hell to introduce them. And that's always the fun part. If someone dies and they don't want to play anymore, then we kind of have a debate whether or not we want to open it up to the public and interview some people or just go with about it for who we have currently. So I have a few different backup plans if people get tired of their characters or anything. I'm prepared for the worst.
Have you DM'd a game where you've kind of, can you tell when a character or person is getting kind of to the point where they're just like,
oh,
done with it, but they just
didn't do nothing? Yeah, I had one real life session where it was a married couple and they both never read their sheets, had no clue what the hell they were doing. And at one point, I finally, about 4 games after I started watching and realizing this, it was like, you know, you guys can back out if you want to. We can just write you out of the story. And they high-fived each other and said, oh, thank God. I'm like, wait, seriously? I put this much effort and work into this? I have a wait list of people in, because I run a gaming group. So I had like 6 or 7 people waiting to play in the D&D games. And they were just like, oh, yeah, no, we're done. I'm like, thank you for this.
It's always the couples too. Like, there's a group in my live game.
Yeah, fuck couples.
Like, just drag the girl, his girlfriend into it, and she plays a barbarian, she never rages, she doesn't know what it does, she doesn't know how to like roll damage for half the time, but she comes because her boyfriend makes her. And I'm just like, you don't even have to play, you could just sit in if you wanted to, if you just want to be with your boyfriend.
Yeah, no, one of them played a monk, the other played a fighter, and she never used key points of the monk. So one time when she was gone, I played her character. And they're like, how much damage did you just do? I'm like, it's because I read the character sheet.
I think if Nim dies, then I'm going to make my witch doctor.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, if Ordok bites it, I might go back to that warlock.
Yeah, I got the dwarf cleric, the Forged Domain cleric that I had played in the one shots that I have a really, really big backstory for. I'll probably go back to him. That's just assuming that, you know, we're all going to stay in the podcast. And
I quit. I'm out. Have.
No.
Thank you to everybody, yay, the audience, for everybody listening, for especially.
Thank you to everyone.
The patrons, Adam, you know, for being at the level to sit in and get in on this rare experience.
We had another at this level, didn't we? Their schedule couldn't.
We did, yeah.
Scheduling conflict.
He couldn't make it. And so, I mean, scheduling, if you do kind of, I guess, want to jump in at that level to sit in with us and kind of have some fun, just know that scheduling is an issue. We are in, what, 3 or 4 different time zones?
Yeah, it's like herding cats, it really is.
Yeah, and right now we're still not famous enough to do this full time yet. So we all have jobs and school and all the, you know, adult life stuff. So scheduling is a little bit hard, but we make it work. And but we just want to thank Adam and the other patron at this level, all the other patrons that we have so far, which is ridiculous that you guys jumped in so early and we have such a nice kind of monthly following already. Huge, huge, huge thanks to you guys. And everybody that's listening, patron or not, we love to hear from you. So jump in our Discord. It should be on our social media anytime from anyone. We want to hear from you, your feedback, good or bad. We just like, yeah, yeah. If there's anything that you, want to change, you can say it. And we won't listen because this is our show. As always, you know, the jumping on the Discord, iTunes reviews, super help outs, any feedback whatsoever really help out and help other people like you find us. So, you know, kind of get that, help us get that, get it out there so they can, other people can enjoy it as much as you do and as much as we do. Another big thank you right now to Die Hard Dice. And just because I know you guys are listening, Todd and Paul over at Die Hard Dice, you guys are awesome. Thank you very much for the amazing dice sets that you've sent us and the giveaways that you're sponsoring and the work that we're doing. Also to Wormwood Gaming Accessories. You guys have beautiful stuff. They're great, and they've been sponsoring us with the affiliate, so we want to help them out. And so if you guys use that affiliate code, shoot them like a tweet or a post on Facebook and say, hey, you know, this is from Do or Dice. Thank you. Let us know that you guys are using it, because the more you use it, the more we can kind of offer you and work with them and through Die Hard Dice and everything. So thanks to them, to all of them. And like I said, the giveaway is still going. So jump on that. I think that's really it. Anything else anybody else has to offer before we end it?
I want to say thank you to you guys for making this show and letting us listen to it. Because right now, you guys, I can already tell, have a fan base, even though it's small. Everyone likes your characters. So just let them come naturally. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep it up. It's a great story.
Cheers, man.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
And thanks for supporting so we don't feel guilty that Trent's paying for everything.
Yeah, it's honestly, as long as at least one person enjoys it, money's not an issue. And so don't worry about it. So thanks, guys. As always, continue to listen, please. And we'll talk to you in the future.
Bye.
Yeah. And then that music that then cuts in right now.
There was a time where Dragonfly.
Yeah. That goes there. And so let's stop recording. All right.